Tonight to the book of Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12. Congratulate the Dixons. They have a daughter getting married soon. And this was their last one to be married. And how many kids y'all have? Three, okay. I was thinking maybe four. Three kids, and they're all going to be married now. And praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. Exodus 12, I'll start in verse 3. The second part of the verse, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the appurtenance thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now that night, the angel of the Lord would pass through, and there would be the death of the firstborn child and animal in every home, except where the blood had been applied. And this was what God instituted to spare them from death as they came out of Egypt. God instituted the Passover. Now tonight, we look at Jesus took the Passover with his disciples. And we'll look at a couple of passages. Matthew 26, if you'll look there with me. They observe the Passover once a year. Passover is the time that Jesus died on the cross because he is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So every year when we celebrate what we call Easter, the resurrection of Christ from the dead, the Jewish people are celebrating Passover on the Sabbath before that Sunday when Christ arose from the dead. And they did it once a year, but we are told to observe it as often as we do it to remember him. Matthew 26 and verse 20. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He saith unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now look at John 13. You may see something you weren't aware of that also took place at this same time. In John 13, verse 1 says, "Now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which are in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter and saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answering and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto them, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. And the not all was Judas Iscariot, of course, and what he would do in betraying the Lord. Now this is found in Luke 22, also in verse 14 through 20, the observing of the Passover meal with the disciples. Most of you remember how the Lord told his disciples to go and find a room that was prepared and to tell the owner the time had now come, and he would give it to them and they would use a room. And there's where they would eat the Passover with the disciples. We call this the Lord's Supper. The Passover is the Jewish celebration where they ate the full meal with the lamb and the bitter herbs. And it all goes back to Exodus chapter 12. But Jesus turned it into what we call the Lord's Supper with his disciples. In 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 and 8, I looked at that just recently in a message, but I don't remember exactly when. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. He is our Passover, the Passover meal. The meal was for pilgrims who were to be ready to depart. They were to eat with their shoes on and their staff in their hand, and they were ready to leave Egypt and go into the promised land. And we're to remember the Lord's death until he comes for us. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you would, with me. Got a gnat up here. I don't want him to get into ministry. Verse 23, Paul writing to Corinth about the Lord's Supper said, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, at Corinth, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, referring to death. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. And remembering the Lord's death until he comes, the Lord's Supper, Passover, the communion, the Holy Eucharist, as the Episcopal and the Catholic Church calls it, meaning the holy giving of thanks, is a memorial. It is a memorial of suffering and betrayal. It was a time of the Lord under accusation by the Jewish people. It was a time of beatings and mockings. It was the time of his crucifixion and his final death and then burial. And then on the third day, he arose from the dead. When the women came after the Sabbath to anoint his body, the stone had been rolled away and Christ had already risen from the dead. The order of events in Matthew 26 and verse 20 reveal these things to us together with his disciples in an appointed place at the evening. They observed the meal together. The Passover is observed on this 14th day of the month that coincides usually with our early April or late March. At the time we celebrate Easter should be on the Sunday after Passover of the Jewish feast. Passover is observed once a year, but the Lord's Supper is to be observed as often as we do it. We're to do it in remembrance of him. The elements of the Passover and of the Lord's Supper: unleavened bread. It is to be blessed and broken, given to the disciples. And this was done by Jesus with his disciples after they had eaten the Passover meal. Jesus said, "This is my body which is broken for you." And in the cup, he said, "This is my blood." In the cup of the New Testament, "Drink ye all of it, for it is for the remission of sin." As often as you do this, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. It is a visual reminder of the crucifixion of Christ, a reminder to us that his promise is he is coming again. Likewise, baptism is a public identification with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Reminds us to walk in newness of life, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection, to walk in newness of life. Now, the Lord's Supper is a call for us to examine ourselves. It's a warning that there is a danger of partaking unworthily. One would be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord partaking unworthily. One should be saved. One should have followed the Lord in baptism. One should have examined themselves, confessed any sin they know of to the Lord and forsaken it in order to partake of the Lord's Supper. It is not for the unsaved. It is for the saved who have confessed their sin. There are grave dangers connected, as there was at Corinth, that many were sick and some had died for not partaking rightfully of the Lord's Supper. There's often in spiritual things a pretense that people put on to appear spiritual when they're not. You'll remember the story in the book of Acts of Ananias and Sapphira, who made their little event that they were going to sell a piece of property and go claim before the church that they were giving all the money to the church for the poor or whatever, but they kept back a part of it for themselves. And immediately Peter and the disciples knew what they had done. And they said, "As long as it was yours, was it not within your hands to do with as you pleased? Why do you lie to the Holy Ghost?" And God struck them both dead, first the husband and then the wife. Corinth, some were sick, and it is from the result of abuse of the Lord's Supper. Heresies in the church, in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 19, says, "For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be manifest among you." So, false teaching from heresies among the church. This can be a time of revival for the Bible-believing Christians, that we draw close to God, that we confess any known sin, that we renew ourselves spiritually and draw close to the Lord, that we might have His blessings upon our lives. Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." So we take a look back at what Jesus suffered on the cross. This is the time of His passion, that He rode into Jerusalem in anticipation of His death. He was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb had to be perfect, inspected, spotless, without any mixture of any wrong. He laid down His life without any protest. Psalm 22 speaks of the crucifixion in verse 14 through 18. Isaiah 53, verse 4 through 12, speaks of the crucifixion of Christ, laying down His life for us and taking our sin upon Himself. His position is that we do show the Lord's death until He comes. Now, Christ is given a name which is above every name, that at His name every knee should bow and every tongue should confess to the glory of God the Father, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and this gives glory to God the Father. He's given a name that is above every name. He has gone to prepare a place for us, and He's given us that promise. He's given us the promise that in heaven He will intercede on behalf of His people. So let us examine ourselves and confess any known sin and repent or have a change of mind about how we've been living. It's what repentance is all about. And remember His death and redo the first works of our spiritual life. Remember, He's coming again, and it could be at any time. The return of Christ is imminent, meaning it could happen at any time. Now, we take a look back to remember Christ's suffering and death and resurrection. We take a look within ourselves to confess our sin and any wrongdoing unto God. We take a look around us, discerning the Lord's body, tarrying one for another, seeking a time of unity together in the body. And we take a look up, focusing on the things above and the coming of the Lord. So let us examine ourselves, confess any and all sin, and remember His death until He calls us home. When we do this, we remember His work on Calvary's cross. Christ suffered and died on the cross. They nailed Him to a cross at the third hour of the morning. That's about 9 a.m. They gambled over His clothing, as the Psalms had said. He prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." After 3 hours of suffering on the cross and the people mocking, at the sixth hour, or about noon, darkness came over all the land until the ninth hour, or about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And at the near the ending of that darkness, Jesus cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." It's quoted in Hebrew in one gospel and in Aramaic in another. And it means the same thing. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It quotes from Psalm 22, and we find it in Matthew 27, 46. After this, at about the third hour or 3 p.m., He said, "I thirst." 7 utterances were made while Jesus was upon the cross. The last, He said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost or dismissed his spirit from his body. Luke 23:46. Before he was crucified, false witnesses had testified against him. He was silent before his accusers. He was smitten and spat upon. They made a crown of thorns and they buffeted his body. He was hated without cause. He was spit upon in Mark 14:65. Hated in John 15:23-25. He suffered vicariously. Substitutionary, he died in our place. He took our sins upon himself, Isaiah 53. He was crucified with sinners, a thief on either side. Jesus died there as if he was guilty of the sins of the world. These thieves had the accusations written above them of their crimes. All they could write above Jesus' head on the cross was the King of the Jews. The Jews said, don't write King of the Jews, write he claims to be the King of the Jews. And Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. Jesus died there as the King of the Jews. He was crucified with the sinners. His hands and feet were pierced, John 20:27. He was mocked and insulted by the crowd. They cried, if you're the great physician, come down from the cross. If you're the Lord, you know, save yourself and save these others. And one of them, both of them, cast that in his teeth. But one of them had a change of mind. And he said, don't rail upon him. You see, he's in the same position we are in, and he has done nothing worthy of this. He said, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He was given gall and vinegar to drink. He prays for his tormentors, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His side was pierced through his ribs with a spear into his heart to let the blood and water come out to be sure he was dead, because no bones of his body were to be broken. With the others, they would take a spear between their legs and break their legs so they could no longer pull themselves up to breathe. But Christ was not to have any bones broken. And so they tested him by putting the spear through his ribs. He was buried with the rich in a borrowed tomb. It could be borrowed because he was only going to use it for 3 days. He resurrected from the dead in Matthew 28:9. He ascended back into heaven in Acts 1:9. We remember his death. We remember his promise. We remember that he will call us home to be with him forevermore. So let us judge ourselves so that we are not chastened by the Lord. Christ observed a feeding with the 5,000 and the 4,000 with multitudes of people. But the Passover, he observed just with his disciples, his dedicated followers who would carry on. His body and blood are the new covenant. They are the seal of promise. They are the proof of his commitment. They are the provision of a testament. Christ gave himself for us. Israel was to eat like pilgrims, to be ready to be called out. It was night, darkness is upon the earth. Christ is the light of a world that dispels the darkness. They ate a lamb in the Passover to have strength for the journey, and bitter herbs to remind them about the hardships and difficulties they faced in the world in Egypt. They ate unleavened bread as a symbol of removing all sin. And the cup represents the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they ate it in obedience to his word. we're going to gather together and observe the Lord's Supper. If anyone did not know we were doing that tonight and does not feel comfortable in staying, as we have a prayer, you can be dismissed. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Miss Gwen, if you'll come and play something while we pray for a moment. We'll have prayer, and while we pray, let us search our hearts and confess any known sin unto God and get prepared to observe the Lord's Supper together. Father, we bow our heads before you, and we are a guilty people. We pray that you would cleanse us and forgive us and wash away our sins and iniquities. Draw us close to you, Father, that we might express our love and our dedication by our service to you. We pray your blessings on your people here tonight. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.